Good morning, Potter's Christian Fellowship. We are week two, or lesson two, of our study with regard to the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit being a deity. The Holy Spirit is a personal being. The Holy Spirit is a divine being, and he is the third person of the Godhead. And so last week we talked about how important it was to view the Holy Spirit as a deity, as a great impact on our faith when we realize that the Holy Spirit is an equal part of the Godhead, and all the things that the Holy Spirit does and the authority that he has need to be recognized by the church. So just again to sum up why we're doing what we're doing, the idea behind the creating a series on the power of the Holy Spirit was not to again lay foundation that has already been laid. I mean, people know, you know, about the Holy Spirit. The issue that I see in the church today is the Holy Spirit alive and well in the lives of believers away from church? I can see the Holy Spirit interacting with people in church and when we're fellowshipping and when we're worshiping. But my question is that Holy Spirit still alive and well? And are we seeing the Holy Spirit's power in every area of our life, in every room of our house, so to speak? Or do we compartmentalize? I think, like I've said in past lessons, that the church is really good at experiencing the Holy Spirit on Sunday, but come Monday morning, when the Holy Spirit is needed the most in our everyday life, we pretty much shut him out. And this series is designed to remind the church that, hey, you have this powerful force living within you that wants to permeate and wants to affect every area of your life. You're not just church, not just fellowship, not just your time in the scriptures, but your time at work, your time you spend with other people, your family, your spouse, relationships, whatever. The Holy Spirit wants to bring wisdom into these things and direction. And when we find ourselves at a loss, the Holy Spirit has direction for us that we need to heed. And I think that, you know, moving forward, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit has the ability, or we have the ability, to grieve the Holy Spirit, which is a frightful thing. And I don't ever want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I want to do things that are pleasing to the Spirit. So again, we've talked about the deity of the Holy Spirit. And so at this point, I thought it would be helpful to review the work of the Holy Spirit through the history of mankind, and as demonstrated through the revelation of God's redemption of man, and that we might increase our appreciation of the Holy Spirit again in everyday activities. And so when I talk about spirit work, this is the title of the lesson this morning, but it's really spirit work part one, and spirit work part two will be the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. But today our text is John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. We'll be in the NIV pretty much throughout the study. And when we're not, I will let you know so that you're not confused. Chapter 16, verse 7 says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I go away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong with regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because the people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world is now stands condemned." So whenever I read text like this that, might not be as easily understood as we think, and I want to get a different perspective on it, oftentimes I pull out the Message version, and I have that here this morning to read aloud so that you guys can sort of see the connection. This is a little easier version of how to understand the scripture. It says, "When he comes, he will expose the error of godless world's view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin, that righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father, and out of their sight and control, And that judgment takes place as ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted. Father, add blessing to your word this morning as we study. Open up our eyes to see, God, the change that is necessary in us. Father, when we approach your word, we approach it from the standpoint of we want to change. And I pray that you would be present in the lives of the believers today, hearing your word, God, that it would cause change in them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, some observations. In John, Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Spirit comes, he will convict. And I think if we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, we talked about the deity, and then we're talking about the work. Well, the work of the Holy Spirit, I think we want to jump to this, you know, sensationalism regarding the Holy Spirit. We want, oh, I want to feel the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in tongues, and I want all this great stuff to happen and whatever. But when Jesus explained this, he was very, very clear. He says, when he comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to have a job. And that first job that he's going to do is to convict. And I think that, you know, if we had it our way, we would want the Holy Spirit to come and bring comfort the first thing he does, or peace the first thing that he would do, or some sort of gift or some sort of endowment that would, you know, impress people. And that's just not the truth. The truth is the Holy Spirit comes to bring conviction. And I think that's extremely important because his job is to convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And in this verse, we see this threefold ministry that the Holy Spirit has, that it yes, it's conviction, but what is he convicting the world of? Well, he's convicting the world of sin, he's convicting the world of righteousness, and he's convicting the world of judgment. And Jesus went on to explain. So he says, you know, regarding sin or concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And that is the biggest sin ever, is this world does not want to believe that there is one way, and that he is the truth and the life. They don't want to believe that. This world wants to believe that there are many roads to heaven. In fact, anything that's taught outside of that truth is a lie, according to this world. And to be honest with you, we went through Revelation, and for the enemy to be able to do what he's going to do, which is to bring the church to a one church government over the whole entire world, in order for him to be able to do that, he's going to have a people that are already convinced that Jesus is not the way, the truth, and the life. And the enemy's job is to make sure that this world is convinced that all those Christians, those narrow-minded people who believe that Jesus is the only way, that they're crazy. And that's who we are. The Bible says this is foolishness. This gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing. But for us, it is the power of God into salvation. So concerning sin, they don't believe in me. And guys, that's the, you know, Satan's job. He wants to get your eyes off of Jesus. He can get your eye on another form of some other God or some other whatever. But as long as it's not on Christ, he's winning the battle here. And I think that so many times that we want to reduce knowing Jesus to a religion, and yet he comes to, you know, convict the world of sin, and the biggest sin that the world commits is they don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They don't believe that he was born of a virgin. They don't believe that he died on a cross for the remission of our sin. They don't believe that he lives and rules and reigns in the hearts of believers. They don't. And the second thing is concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. The Holy Spirit's convicting the world of righteousness. You know, they think that righteousness comes from them doing and us striving and us being good. We have a righteousness that comes directly from God. The third is this judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And yes, God is judging the ruler of this world, but there's also judgment coming for this world. So let's interpret this a little deeper this morning. The conviction of sin is this, you know, idea that the world is a very sinful place. There's no question about that. The Holy Spirit has this great job of convicting this evil world that there is something missing, right? And I think in my life, that's what the Holy Spirit did. I got saved in in a up in Big Bear in on a ski lift. And my buddy and I, my friend Kurt, he was a guy that I went to high school with. He's now a youth pastor at a big church here in Southern California. Fantastic guy. But he and I went to school together, and we went skiing, and you know, somebody had fallen when they got off the lift, and so the lift had stopped, and we were just, excuse me, sort of rocking there. And he began to share with me about Jesus, and we talked about God's love and his plan of redemption for man. And, you know, I had other plans that day. I wanted to drink. I wanted to get high. I wanted to ski. And God had another plan. And God's plan for me was to speak truth into my life using this man to do that. And I listened. And one of the things that I realized was that the life that I was living was sinful. It was sinful because I didn't believe. It was sinful because even the Catholic foundation that I had, I was losing. I didn't necessarily believe that Jesus was everything that he said that he was. So no amount of preaching by this particular gentleman that was with me, or pleading or pointing fingers or whatever, that wasn't bringing conviction. What was bringing conviction was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was telling me, dude, there's something missing in your life. And I was looking at my friend Kurt, who had all the things that I wanted in life. He had purpose, he had peace, he had joy. And it was all coming from within. It wasn't coming from chemicals the way that I was receiving it. It's the Spirit's job to convict. And what is the most basic sin in which the whole world is guilty of? And that's just unbelief. And sometimes that unbelief is found in us. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit is at work in the world because they believe not in Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing, is trying to convince these people and showing them their emptiness, their utter depravity. And I don't care, the most person that is the hardest, their heart is hardened, they still have to be alone with themselves and admit to themselves that something is missing, something has gone wrong. Because there is a hole in our heart, a place, a void that only God can fill. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit is an amazing thing. Once a person responds to that conviction, he turns to faith in Christ, and the sins that we practice now, that we you know, we're getting away with, they're sin to us, and we start feeling remorse about that. We start feeling bad. It starts to be unnatural. When we sin like that, it is the sin of unbelief, the refusal to trust in Jesus, that is the primary sin that we have, guys. And that just trickles down into us wanting to do things the way that we want to do them. So, which leads me to the second thing here. The conduit of righteousness is the power of the Holy Spirit, right? The world must be convicted of righteousness. Why? Because this is something that the Holy Spirit does. There is a righteous standard that we are all held to. And there's people that are stubborn and they deny it, whatever. But this standard that we're held to is, you know, the righteousness cannot be met by us doing good or working hard, right? We are saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. So the standard of the standard bearer of righteousness is Jesus himself. He says, because I go to the Father. I'm going to the Father. I am righteous, and the Holy Spirit's going to convict you of the fact that righteousness can only come from me. I'm the one that makes you righteous through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't get this on your own. You can't attempt to get a form of godliness, and because you're going to deny the power thereof. You can't have God on the outside and not have them on the inside. Jesus said, when he looked at this behavior, he said, these are whitewashed tombs with dead man's bones inside. These were the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were acting like they were godly on the outside, but on the inside, they had a righteousness of themselves. And it wasn't of the Lord. And Jesus flipped that, the paradigm shift. He flipped that. He says, I ascended back to heaven, and the Son of Man who lives to be our intercessor, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, and he's making intercession for you today. John 3, verse 13 No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. That the righteous that the world, the righteousness that the world is trying to deny can only be found in our relationship with Jesus Christ. He is righteousness personified, and no one can measure up to him. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So when God is using the Holy Spirit to convict us of righteousness, it's, you know, that once you understand that truth, it's not that we're off the hook, but there should be this sense of peace that all the righteousness that I have that is within me has God's fingerprints all over it. It's not my fingerprints. It's not my work. God makes me righteous. And when I'm righteous, I don't go and boast about that righteousness because I have nothing to boast of my own. Everything that I have that's good in me is a result of Jesus Christ. You may be listening to this sermon and you may have known the person that I was in high school, 30 whatever years ago, and I'm not that person anymore. It's not because I decided to be righteous. It's not because I decided to attain a degree at a Bible college. It's because of the righteousness that's been given to me through my relationship with Jesus Christ in the conduit of the Holy Spirit, allowing that righteousness to be seen in me, and I feel it, right? Something that I'm able to sense, okay? So the next thing here is this judgment, and judgment is coming, guys. We know that. The world is facing judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts them of this truth, and the day of reckoning scheduled is going to happen. There is this great white throne judgment that we're going to go under, and there's the Bema Seat judgment that we're going to go under, and the fact that this righteousness has begun, it started with Satan, and then it's going to be with the house of the Lord, and receiving that conviction of the Holy Spirit in all areas I live my life understanding that I'm going to have to give an account one day. You're going to have to give an account one day. What did you do with the things that I gave you, says the Lord? And we're standing in front of him, and there's nobody. There's no advocate at our side, per se. There's Jesus, but there's not an attorney down here making a case. It's the video is going to be played, and God's going to see what we did with the gifts that he gave us and the time that he gave us and the money that he gave us. We're just stewards of all these things, you see. So Jesus looks at this situation, and he knows that the prince of this world has been driven out, according to John chapter 12, verse 31. And it was on that cross that Jesus redeemed sinners and got rid of or vanquished Satan. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. And 3 days after he rose again, and showing the world that Satan's rule was overthrown. And all who reject Christ remain in their sin. And the Holy Spirit wants to bring them out of that through conviction. So a couple of conclusions here before we get to application. The influence of the Holy Spirit in an unsaved person's life will lead that person to the realization that he's guilty. And guys, I realize that by our words and by our, us convicting people, I mean, it's a good effort, but at the end of the day, it's not going to work. Our prayer should be that the Holy Spirit would convict our loved ones that don't know Jesus, that conviction should come from the Holy Spirit because it's appropriate and it's the thing that's going to get something done. Your words and my words of convicting people are never going to get anything done. You want to change me? You want to change your pastor? Start praying and allow God's Holy Spirit to change me. Talking behind my back or constantly coming to me and criticizing what I do and how I do it, it's not going to do anything, to be honest with you. It's just going to make me frustrated. If you want to change me, if you want to change people, if you want to change your marriage or your spouse or your children, it starts with praying for them, interceding for them, that the Holy Spirit would bring conviction. And once a sinner, once a person has been awakened to, his soul's great need, the Spirit's going to point to Christ. And we're going to make that our refuge. And in all of this, the Spirit uses his sword, the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. To regenerate the heart. Faith comes by hearing the message. And the message is heard throughout the world. It is Jesus Christ. So this morning, excuse me, as we apply this, spirit work, part two, or part one, is this idea that the Holy Spirit's job is to bring conviction. And again, I know that some of you, you want so much from the Holy Spirit, and maybe the reason why you're not getting everything you want out of your relationship with the Holy Spirit is that you're not allowing him to do the very thing he was intended to do, which is to convict us of sin, to bring conviction. And James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, for them that is sin." And the reason it's that way is because the Holy Spirit will speak to each individual as a believer and convict you when you say something and you realize you can't put those words back in your mouth. You need to go fix it, right? But it's that Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit's power that convicts us to say, man, you blew it. You got to go back and make it right. It's the Holy Spirit convicting us, saying, well, what's wrong with your walk? Why are you feeling so distant? And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what I'm hearing out of your mouth is what's in your heart, because there's evil in your heart. You've allowed it to take up residence there. So the Holy Spirit, its number one job is to convict you. And you might as well just accept that. You say, well, Greg, I love feeling the Holy Spirit. I love seeing the Holy Spirit move with power. What more powerful way do you want God to move in your life than when the Father, your Father, convicts you of sin? That is a beautiful thing in relationship with the Lord, because he's not condemning you of sin. He's convicting you. When you're convicted, you have hope. When you're condemned, you have no hope. The Spirit exists to convict us of righteousness today. This righteousness can only come from the Lord. It's not a fruit of being good or behaving. And yet, God wants you to be good. God wants you to do good. But your righteousness does not come from that. We are all endowed with this righteousness. Romans chapter 3, 21. "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile." That's the righteousness that God wants us to have. And number three, the Spirit exists to convict the world of judgment today. You know, guys, we do a lot of talking about heaven. And, you know, to be honest with you, the last year of my life, I have contemplated heaven more than any other year because of the death of my son. And I think often about my son being in heaven, if he's there, in what it's like, and I'm focused on that. But are we focused on the fact that is receiving the promise of heaven, we have to receive the penalty of hell? In other words, if heaven is heaven, then there has to be a hell. We don't talk about hell. We don't want to talk about that. It's not politically correct. It's not even something we hear in churches being, instructed on, or there's no preaching on it. You know, hell is just this place that, oh, it's just for bad people or whatever. It is a reality as much as heaven is a reality. And judgment is coming. Every single one of us is going to stand before the judgment throne of Christ, period. We're going to stand before that judgment. And there are two outcomes. We will either go to heaven or we will go to hell, period. There is no holding place. There is no middle ground. Those are the outcomes that God has. And if we're in hell, it's because we've placed ourselves there, not because we've been sent there. We've been placed there because we were never convicted of sin. We've been placed there because we thought righteousness was attained on our own. And then lastly, we just, this whole judgment thing, we just sort of put it off and didn't care about it. That ought not to be you, friend. I want to pray for you this morning. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, God, that as we have heard your truth, that your truth would bring change to our life. And God, before we want to take the Holy Spirit out for a test drive and see all the great things that he can do and all the capabilities that he has, we must first come to terms with the fact that he wants to bring conviction into our life. And the areas that he wants us to convict a sin is the sin that we have when we push him out of our life. And righteousness, when we try and attain it on our own. And judgment, when we convince ourselves that it's just not going to happen. Father, as people listening to my voice, they're brought to a place of a fork in the road, Lord. Are they going to continue down the path they're going, or are they going to allow you to change them? It's the same decision I had to make after preparing this lesson, Lord, that was I going to follow you? Was I going to allow the Holy Spirit to convict me in these areas? Father, I pray for those listening to me today that are not part of this church, Lord, that just stumbled upon this sermon. And I pray for them, Father, because they have a decision to make too. Are they overlooking the fact that they have sin in their life? Are they trying to just be good and work their way into heaven by a righteousness in and of themselves? And are they just setting this whole idea of judgment aside? Lord, this truth should be self-evident to all of us that you will judge this world. And so, Father, for those listening today, God, bring conviction to them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And if you're listening here and you want to give your life to Jesus, it's simple. You need to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that he died on a cross for our salvation, to reconcile our sinful nature with a new nature that he wants to give us. And when he gives us that new nature and we're born again, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is an amazing thing. So I pray for you this morning if you made that decision. If you're on the website, all you got to do is find the phone number there. Give us a call. We will pray with you and encourage you. And we will see you soon. God bless you, and thank you for taking the time to listen.